And turning in your Bibles to the book of Micah, turn to the 6th chapter, read the 1st and 2nd verses of Micah. Comes right after Jonah, if that's any help to you. You don't know where Jonah is, well, that's going to be a problem. Micah chapter 6, reading verses 1 and 2. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We continue tonight with an emphasis on the children of Israel, their experiences reflect in so many ways the experiences that we all have encountered somewhere along the journey. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. The Lord hath a controversy with his people. Dear Jesus, we are thankful for all the good things you have done in the life of the church this day. And we pray now in the moments remaining in this service that you will help all of us to be very vigilant, be very watchful, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak very clearly to us. We believe that the great white light of your truth can shine upon our hearts, and you can tell us what we need to know. Perhaps there are some concerns that we will address ourselves to tonight that will relate to very real needs being experienced by some of our people in this sanctuary. Whatever you have for us, we want all there is. We want victory in our lives. We want to have a genuine relationship with you. We do not want any sham, any facade, anything thin. We want it to be true. We want it to be good. We want it to be deep. On that basis, we pray this prayer and ask you now, speak to our hearts through your precious Holy Spirit, whose responsibility you have said is to lead us into truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The word says that God had a controversy with his people Israel. What is a controversy? Well, it can be called a feud, a quarrel, a dispute, and that's probably the force of the interpretation tonight, to say that God was having a dispute with his people. And I think it only fair to point out that God still has controversies with his people. He still disputes with them. And he presently has a controversy going with this world in which we find ourselves living. He has a controversy with a nation like Russia. We sat with our children this Monday night, as perhaps did many of you, to watch the special program, The Defection of Seamus Kadyrka. And really, for the first time, for some of our children, they had a grasp of what it was like to live in a country where your mind as well as your behavior was absolutely controlled by the state. And they were shocked and appalled at the grip that the nation of Russia had upon the minds of the people, and how they could make people conform in their behavior and tell them where to work and when to work and how to work. They were amazed at what they saw. We didn't feel like we had done a very good job with our children in sharing with them the truth about democracy as compared to the other ideologies of the world. God has a controversy with that nation tonight, the nation of Russia. He is holding them accountable. He is not overlooking their sin as they try to dominate the minds of all the people of the world. Their godless form of government. But saying all that, I would hasten to say that God likewise has a controversy with the United States of America tonight. A country that is known throughout the world for its moral decadence. While the nation of Russia has tried to say we will rule everything about the lives of our people, in many ways, the culture in which we live say we are going to try to show the rest of the world just how absolutely free of any kind of restraint or restrictions we can possibly be. We're going to do everything there is to do. And we're doing a good job of doing that. And as a result, the record of our morality is an abomination in the entire world. And God is not overlooking this. He has not turned his head. He knows what's going on. And as a result, he has a controversy with our country tonight. But all this being true, the great concern and the burden that I have in this moment is the fact that perhaps our God has a controversy not just with a Russia or with an America, but perhaps tonight, God has a controversy with you. As we look at God's controversy with Israel, we see that it was based on at least three things. That it was a long-term controversy. And that the rebellion of his people broke his heart as he travailed with them and tried to get them to live a life that was acceptable to him. The first thing their controversy was based on was their continued slavery to idols. It is absolutely inconceivable to me that while Moses was on the mountain listening to God's voice as he gave him the Ten Commandments, and as we covered that ground this morning, these principles for life, just inconceivable to me that while the man of God was on the mountain with God, that at the base of the mountain, the children of Israel began to say, where in the world did Moses go? They began to say, where is our leader? Where is this man who led us out of Egypt? Where in the world has he gone? Became impatient. And while the man of God was on the mountain with God, receiving the principles for life, the children of Israel were busy gathering all their earrings together, the word of God tells us, all their golden earrings together in order to melt them so that they could make an idol. That just blows my mind. A love for idols was one reason that God had a controversy with the Israelites. Now tonight, most of us here could pass a test if we were asked the question, what is an idol? We know that an idol is anything that comes before God in our lives. That's an idol. Never think.
of outbroken sin, and that's good. But you haven't possessed the Canaan of the sanctified life. You haven't received fulfillment of God's promise to baptize you with His Holy Spirit. You've only gone halfway. What a joy it was again last Sunday night to share with our membership class, as we do with every membership class that comes into the church, the necessity of being entirely sanctified, of being baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. And I thought, as I was sharing with those new Nazarenes who are going to join the church, I wish that every Nazarene had this experience of entire sanctification. I wish everyone who calls himself a Nazarene would not be satisfied to just be a halfway Christian and consequently find himself in continuing controversy with God over who's going to have control of his life. I wish every Nazarene would read the New Testament and discover how the disciples of Jesus Christ, who were the called out ones, who lived with Jesus, who walked with him, who had fellowship with him in physical contact as well as in spiritual reality, who knew what it was when they were down and discouraged to have Jesus in physical form, to actually come and put his strong arm around them and say, "Peter, it's going to be all right. Hang in there, pal. We're going to make it. The Father is going to help us. Don't give up." And thereby be encouraged and strengthened. They had that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, they were Christians. They knew what it meant to be born again. They knew what it meant to be called out from among them. They knew all about being set apart. But what they didn't know about was being baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. There are so many things in their life that were so sub-Christian. They were argumentative with each other. They were worried about who was going to have the chief seats in the kingdom of God. Little petty things. They were worried who was going to sit in the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. They were worried who was going to have the tougher life and who was going to have the easier life. Little petty things, very human. But beneath the provision that God has made for his children. But I want to tell you this. Something happened to them. Why, these disciples who were having all these kind of problems and who were so afraid after Jesus died that they were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, something happened to these men. The Word of God tells us that on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and flames of fire came and danced over their heads. And they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. And something happened as these men had their hearts made pure by faith that day on the day of Pentecost. Something real and vital happened to these men. And these same men who had been cringing behind closed, locked doors for fear of the Jews took to the streets and began to proclaim with a holy boldness what the Jews had done to Jesus, why they needed to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus. And from that moment on, new records were written that have never been equaled in the history of the church. How did it happen? Oh, these disciples who had been but halfway Christians decided, listen, we're going to be here in this upper room and we're going to go all the way with God or die trying. We're going to stay here and we're going to pray and we're going to trust and we're going to believe until the promise of the Father, the coming of the Holy Spirit, happens in our hearts and lives. Listen, when God finds a group of people who are willing to come together and be of one mind and one heart and hunger and thirst after righteousness until they're filled, I'll tell you what's going to happen. They are going to be filled. And God, the Holy Spirit, on that day came and met their needs, and they spent the rest of their lives getting over what happened to them on the day of Pentecost. I wonder tonight if God has a controversy with you. Because he has called every one of us, not just super saints, but he has called every one of us to possess this experience of heart holiness, entire sanctification, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Our reluctance to be sanctified is very similar to the Israelites' reluctance to possess Canaan. In both cases, they distrusted God. They somehow thought their case was different. Yes, God was able to bring us out of Egypt, but we just don't see any way possible he's going to be able to bring us into this promised land. And the enemy of their soul kept telling them, your case is different. Don't listen to your leaders. You have a special case. God can't do this for you. I am reminded a few years back when we were working with our senior highs at Roaring River State Park on a summer camping experience. One of the activities for the group was to go horseback riding. Now, I was raised in the streets of Chicago, and the only ones who had horses in Chicago were the policemen. And none of the rest of us had a lot of contact with horses. And not had a lot of experience riding. But they said one of the activities will be to ride horses. And being a good and dutiful leader of young people, I said, if that's the program, count me in. I'll be going. As it happened, we'd had a hard rain the night before. And this particular route that we were taking was up alongside of those slippery hills down there in that Roaring River State Park area. They were all clay paths and very slippery, and I worried a little about that before we ever went. And when we got to the stable to get the horses, I started worrying a lot more. They were the most beat up, haggard, abused looking bunch of animals I've ever seen in my life. They all had signs on them that said, Rejects, Chicago Glue Factory. They took a look at me, and then they started looking to find one of the larger animals. And they got him out, and they said, this one will be just fine. I said, if I get on that horse, he'll absolutely collapse and go right down on all fours. They said, no, he won't. He'll take you. So I got on, and we started to go. As we started to head up the side of the hill, which they call the mountain, looked down over to the river several hundred feet below us, and the horses were kind of slipping as they went along under their great burdens, I began to think to myself, you know, they have assured me that this horse has been over this trail many times, that I have absolutely nothing to worry about. But something inside me said, my case is different. Something inside me said, you know, he's never had me on him before. He's never been over this trail with me before. And several times I thought it was all over. I thought he was going over the side of that mountain with me aboard. And that's the way it is with human nature. No matter what people may tell us, we kind of have the feeling, yes, but my case is different. And we even apply that kind of logic when we're dealing with God. Yes, God, I know you have commanded your people to be holy. I know that you have commanded your people to not stop at being a halfway Christian, but you have told us to go on and possess everything that you have for us. But my case is different. My friend, that is one of the devil's biggest lies. And I tell you tonight, don't believe him when he tells you that lie. Rebuke him and send him behind you and believe the promise of God. It is his will for all of his people to be holy. It is his will for all people to receive his sanctifying power. Basically, what it amounts to, it all boils down the same way. Is when you start talking like that, you have a basic unwillingness to surrender self. That's the battle. And until God wins that battle in your life, he'll continue to have a controversy with you. And I believe tonight that many of you have come close, but you have faltered. Many of you have gone through that first glorious experience of forgiveness for your sins. And you have grown in grace. But as God has begun to reveal to you all that he wants from your life, you've begun to back up. And consequently, God still has a controversy with you tonight because you have chosen to be a halfway Christian. But in closing, there is the third reason that God had a controversy with his people, Israel. It was because they had an unwillingness to sacrifice. Time and again, God asked these people for the best they had. And time and again, they evidenced an unwillingness to give their best. You know, giving our best to God always calls for some kind of sacrifice. And frequently the Israelites were not wanting to sacrifice anything for their God. But you can mark it down tonight, being a Christian always means sacrifice. And I fear that tonight the cause of God's controversy with you may be your unwillingness to sacrifice. You say you've come right up against the light of God, and you know exactly what He wants from your life, but you are unwilling to give Him what He asks. And as a result, He has a controversy with you as He did with Israel of old. Now, young person or old person, it really doesn't matter. You can mark this down and underline it. If God is asking you to give something up, it's something you need to give up, and will the rest of your life be glad you gave it up to God. I have told you before about my grandmother Cunningham, a wonderful woman, and I loved her very much. My grandmother was a rather extraordinary person. She was a great, tall lady who had a very regal manner. She was the kind of woman who was able to take her family every summer for 3 months. My grandfather was a high school teacher in Chicago. He had the summers off. And every summer they took their whole family for 3 months and camped out up in Michigan by a lake. And they fished and roughed it all summer long. And she took care of her 3 boys, and her husband just did it all right up there in the wilderness. She was the kind of woman who, with a .38 revolver, could drive the head of a nail into a target many feet away. She was the best shot in the family. And they all knew it, too. But my grandmother lived a lifetime controversy with God. Because when she was a girl, God called her to be a missionary. And she felt that He wanted her to go to Africa. And though she was a Christian, and though she lived for God, she spent her life in controversy because she never got this issue resolved. She made a decision. She would not give God what He was asking for. She stayed home. And in staying home, she had 4 children. The only daughter that she had died at an early age. One of her sons was tried for murder. She saw another son renounce God and the church and sell his soul to the devil. She saw only one son, a Christian. And I wondered as I grew up how many times she must have wished that she had gone to the mission field. Now listen to me carefully. Are you saying, Pastor, that the reason all these things happened to her was because she didn't do God's will? Maybe that's the kind of God you serve, but that's not the kind of God I serve. No, God didn't do these things to her. God didn't punish her. This God of love that we serve, He tried to spare her all of that. Don't you understand that He sees into the future? And He knows exactly what is going to happen in our lives depending on our choices? And He looked into the future of my grandmother and saw the heartache and the heartache and the heartbreak that was going to be hers on the one hand, and saw the beautiful life of service that could have been hers on the other hand. And He said to her, please go with me, though I'm asking you to give me your life for missionary service. Understand, I'm not asking you to give up anything. But what I'm going to give back to you manifold. I'm not asking you for a miserable life of sacrifice and ruin. I'm asking for you to do my will. Will you do that? And she said, no. No, I will not do it. You know the difference between sacrifices made to satisfy self and to satisfy God? When we make sacrifices for ourself, we do it alone and it's wasted. When we sacrifice for Christ, we do it for His kingdom. And somehow He always more than makes up for our loss. God is no insurance against suffering. But going with God is insurance against meaningless suffering. And I feel tonight that some of you may be resisting God's call to sacrifice. Some of you may be wanting to go a different direction, and you don't understand it is the mercy of God that is calling you to be His servant. It is the mercy of God that is calling you to be a part of His will and plan for your life. He sees into your future. He desires only your great happiness and fulfillment. And He knows, only He knows, what will provide that for your life. Some of you tonight may be resistant to God's plan for your life. Let me ask you, what is the source of God's controversy with you? Is it idols? Is it the problem of being a halfway Christian? Is it an unwillingness to sacrifice? But whatever the source of the controversy, I invite you to come and settle your dispute with God for time and for eternity. And I invite you to do it tonight, right now, in this service. Will you turn with me to hymn number 397? We want to sing that old hymn of invitation, 397, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Will you join with me in standing? Dear Jesus, we know that we have preached your truth tonight. You know of our own heart concern for our people, that they determine their priorities and decide who's really going to be first in their life. You know of our burden that they go all the way with you and not settle for being halfway Christians. You know of our concern. It says we want them to be willing to sacrifice however they need to sacrifice. We want them to enjoy everything you have for them. You have so much to give. So much to give, and are looking for people to give it to. So will you own and control the closing moments of this service? You can supply our needs. May we be honest before you, and may we be responsive to your Holy Spirit. May we move right out to the place of prayer to settle our controversy with you tonight. We pray in thy name. Amen. Let's sing this first verse together. And if there's anyone here tonight that wants to pray, we want to pray with you. Will you come now as we sing?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can. Take thy cross.
until we are at the place in our lives where we can sing that chorus and mean it, we're in a whole lot of trouble. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, not halfway, but all the way. If you can't sing that from your heart and mind tonight, you've got a problem. God's got a controversy with you. And he wants to resolve it. He's tired of it. And I know you are. It isn't worth it. Whatever it is, it isn't worth it. Trust God. Follow him. Go all the way. Throw out your idols. Come on now as we sing the second verse. Will you join these? We're already here. Come now, will you? Just come.
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden.
Come on. That's right. Just come.
I'll go.
Come now, will you?
Where
just come.
He
just come.
Leads me, I will follow.
That's it. You come to
him.
That's right.
Me,
that's right.
So thankful for all of these who have come, and we're going to sing this third verse, and I believe it'll be all we sing tonight. But we're trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And it's so easy to coast, so easy to be comfortable, so easy to have enough religion that it eases your conscience somewhat, but not enough that it really penetrates the very depths of your being. Until you really want to be all out for God. Until you really want to go, not halfway, but all the way. Dear Jesus, we've preached what we know to preach. We've prayed. We've borne burdens for these services today. We're thankful for the response that we see and the response we believe that has happened in hearts that we cannot see. But if there's anyone that the devil's been beating around and lying to them and destroying the effectiveness of their Christian life because they believed his lies, they've tried to settle for going only halfway. Oh God, will you help us right now to defeat the enemy? And to believe God and to trust him, to really trust him, to go all the way, to give him whatever he asks for, to have faith to believe that anything he asks for in return, he'll give back to us 100, 1,000-fold. Help us, Jesus. We want to do your will. We want to resolve any controversy that you may have with us tonight. Help us as we sing this closing verse, we pray. Amen. Going to sing this third verse, then we're going to close. Will you come now as we sing?
I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment.
you're coming, come now. This is
where
all we're going to see.
Leads
won't you come?
I
won't you come?
Will follow where he leads.
That's it.
Me,
that's it. You come too. Why don't you come too? That's it. Still time. Start now. We'll wait. Start now. We'll wait.
I'll go with him. With him. All the way.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? We're going to close. Just waiting for these to come. We've already started. If you start now, I'll wait for you. Come now, I'll wait. That's right. That's it. Waiting for you, friend. Not going to sing anymore, just waiting for you. That's it. That's right. We'll take the time. Nothing more important we could be doing. That's it. Just a moment longer. They're still coming. Still coming. That's right. We'll wait for you as long as you're coming. We'll wait. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness to your people, for being willing to strive with our souls, to being willing to lead us into truth. We thank you for every precious soul that has responded to your invitation tonight. Give them everything they need. May they pray definitely and specifically and resolve the controversy that's going on between you and them tonight. Everyone at the altar and perhaps some out in the congregation, in the choir, who are still struggling, but do not feel that tonight is their night. God, continue to maintain your controversy until it is resolved by the powerful Holy Spirit. Bless those who need to leave. Be with those of us who remain to pray. May every single seeker find exactly what they need. We pray.